Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue talking about baptism, and baptism is such a simple thing, and it looks like such a simple thing, doesn't it? You bring this, as I said last week, this helpless, pathetic being to the water, and whether it's a baby or not, it's helpless and pathetic either way. You bring it up, you say some words, you sprinkle some water, and bam, you have a child of God. But in those waters, something marvelous and mysterious and powerful takes place. And we see this referenced in different places in the Scriptures. And in Galatians, Paul tells the church there, whoever has been baptized, you have put on Christ. That's Galatians 3:27. It's like you're wearing Jesus as your clothing. And I think Paul gets this imagery from a place in Isaiah where Isaiah talks and says, God clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. What other thing is it, is salvation or righteousness than Jesus himself? He is our clothing that is placed upon us in baptism. In Romans, as we read earlier, and as I read at baptisms, Paul says that in baptism, you are united to the death of Jesus. You are united to the burial of Jesus. You are united to the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says also in Romans that our old self is crucified with Christ. And he connects this all to our unity that comes with being in Christ through baptism. We are delivered something marvelous and mysterious and powerful in this simple action. And this simple thing, grace, mercy, salvation, the righteousness of Christ comes and covers you, and it's completely free. But we have a problem. And the problem for believers, and I think especially for us Lutherans, is that we tend to abuse what is free to us because it's free to us. I see this in my kids, especially the really young ones. You know, they'll be happy they got a new toy, and they're just delighted to have this toy, but they don't care what happens to the toy. As soon as it's broken, they think, oh, I'll just get a new one. Dad will buy me a new one. They don't have a concept of the cost of something. And so because it's free, they feel free to abuse it. And Lutherans, we have a problem with this. We abuse the grace of God. And Paul references this in his letters to the Romans as he says, should we go on sinning because grace abounds? Absolutely not. See, we like the victory that comes to us from the free grace of God given to us in baptism. We like the victory. We love to be called child of God. We love that our guilt, the guilt of our sin, is washed away. To know that we are sealed by the cross of Christ, that we are placed under the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We love that stuff, the victory that comes to us, the grace, the salvation that comes to us. But what we don't like is the words that come after, the call that comes after. Christ calls his disciples in the Gospels, and he says, take up your cross and follow me. He calls us to a life of discipleship, of walking in the very steps of Jesus. And Paul essentially says the same thing, but he says it in a different way. Our passages this morning are basically saying, now that you're baptized, live like it. Now that you have the grace of God poured out upon you, show it. Live a life that gives evidence of the fact that God has done something amazing for you. But we don't like that. Yesterday afternoon, evening, I turned on football. Football's back. And I watched a little bit of the Minnesota Vikings. It's preseason. I don't care what happens. It's actually pretty painful to watch, in fact. And not just because it's the Vikings, it's because it's preseason. But as I was watching, I was thinking about players like Tom Brady. You know, whether you like him or not, you have to understand he's won 6 Super Bowls, right? He's done a lot in his career. He's played for a long time. And what I was thinking about was how, even though he won a Super Bowl, he's won 6 Super Bowls, even though he's the last quarterback to have won a Super Bowl, this fall, he still goes right back to it. He gets right back into his training. He gets right back into preseason. He gets right back into his strict regimen and diet. He gets right back to being hit by big defensive linemen. He gets right back into it and right back into the struggle, right back into the fight, right back into the battle, even though he's got the rings and the trophies. Even though he's had an amazing career, even though he's had victory, he gets right back into it, into the fight. The baptized life is a little bit like that. You could say we've won the Super Bowl because Jesus has won the Super Bowl for us, and he's given us all the benefits of that. But we aren't supposed to have what they often call a Super Bowl hangover, where you just kind of let it all go and you kind of forget to get back in the fight. We're supposed to be like the guy that gets back into the struggle. We have the victory, yes, but we're still in the battle. You get back into the struggle, into the fight, and what we do is we continue to fight against our sinful nature and live as a person who has received much from God. The baptized life is an invitation to suffering, to struggle, to war. It's an invitation to get into the trenches. But we are tempted to abuse grace, to avoid the struggle. We're tempted by our sinful nature, our old self, to continue living in sin, to go the way of the world and just say, God's got it, I can live however I want. We're tempted to do this. And the danger that needs to be spoken, if we continue to live the way of the world and to abuse the grace of God, the danger that needs to be said is that you might come to a place where you have rejected what God has done for you. You might not wave your fist up at God and say, I reject the promises you gave me in baptism, but your life will bear it out. That is the danger. And so Paul admonishes the church in Colossae. He admonishes the church in Rome, and tells them, put off the things of this world. And the language he's using there is language of getting dressed and taking clothing off. And it's, you can imagine that the things of this world, all the lists that Paul went through, anger, malice, sexual immorality, all that kind of stuff, imagine them like dirty clothes. And for the Christian who has been claimed by Christ, we're supposed to put those things away, throw them away, put them in the burn pile, and instead put on the garments of Jesus. We wear his righteousness. We wear his salvation. We wear the gentleness of Christ. We put on humility, kindness, compassion, the forbearance with another person, bearing with another person's faults, patience. We forgive one another. We wear Jesus. We wear the clothing of the baptized person. Luther would say it this way in his catechism, that each day you wake up and the first thing you do is you remember your baptism. And you remember it by drowning once again that old sinful nature, drowning it by repenting of your sin, by being sorrowful for your sin, but remembering what God has done for you. And you rise up and you live in what God has done for you, and you wear the clothing of Christ. In baptism, you were chosen by God. You were declared holy because your life is now hidden with Christ. And though the battle rages on, the war is won, Christ is the victory. He has claimed you. And as he has claimed you, so also he gives his Spirit to you to enable you, to empower you, to encourage you as you fight, as you suffer, as you take up the cross and follow him and depend fully upon his strength. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you have called us to live in this world, but to live with our minds on things above, not on things below. We pray, O Lord, that we would live in the covenant of our baptism, living our lives for your sake, fighting against our sinful nature, living as people of kindness, gentleness, humility, and forgiveness. Help us and strengthen us, O Lord. Convict us when we err and bring us back again to your forgiveness. We pray this all in your gracious and holy name. Amen.